Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
MikeDurbin.com. You can get the WCW-esque Conan in that K-Dog Wolfpack style. Man, this Conan might be Bendy of the year right now.
I really told you.
Yo, let me speak on this. Mike Durbin Productions exclusive.
Conan, I was the most impressed with Conan, man. It's like undercover Bendy of the year. It's a really nice figure. The do-rag is freaking awesome in person. I love the exclusive with the WCW packaging. I love this one with the camo. It's really nice.
And I will say, a figurine expert who went to TJ on Friday, Matt Cardona, put it over as being a good figurine as far as figurines go.
Yo, hold on, let me speak on this. Exclusive Mike Durbin Productions, K-Dog. Look at that. Listen to K-Dog, keeping it 100. Logo on the back, MikeDurbin.com. Get it right now. Low-key might be Bendy of the year. Go get it.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
We be
stopping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be stopping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Just act like you know and hope we stop.
Rockin' through stompin', I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's in the 6-4 hoppin'. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pullin' 211.
I come through stompin', rollin' in my low-top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, goin' 5150. G'd up in the feet up, creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boostin'. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo, man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, you'll get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the tang, the
tang. Next was from Justin Alcade, subject to DX Invasion. Hello, Joe Conan and Disco. I was watching the segment where DX drove a tank to invade WCW. I don't understand why WCW didn't let them in, because that would have been a huge TV. From a fan's perspective, made WCW look like they were afraid of the WWE, but not doing any big retaliation. What was your guys' opinion of that, and how would you have handled it if you were in charge during the situation? I would have shot and killed them on the spot. That would have been great. That would have been good for ratings. Conan, would you agree?
Yeah.
They showed up with the tank, and I had like a snipe. We actually showed a video of like Sergeant Craig Pippen. And he had like a sniper rifle, and he like shot them right in the head, like the Zapruder tape. Like
that's definitely.
You know, would that have drawn huge numbers, Conan, if we shot them and killed them on live television?
Super Bowl numbers.
that's going to be on Sports Key. Disco Inferno says he would have killed DX in '98 or whatever.
All right, here we go. This is a Joseph Peralta.
What was the question?
How would you have handled it if you were in charge? Those guys being outside and all that.
I would have shot him.
Shut up.
Yeah, we're shot dead.
Bro, I thought it was very ballsy and very risky on their part. Because I remember Nash and Hall were there and they were like, oh, yeah, those are our boys. And I was like, I was looking at everybody backstage and everybody was pissed. Like, if they would have let them out, they would have beat the fuck out of them. There probably would have been a lawsuit. But it made us look like bitches, bro. And it immortalized them. That was one of the greatest angles ever.
Right. Yeah. Because the visual, if you remember, was they were coming down like a driveway in their Jeep. And the garage door just slowly went down. So it looked like, oh, they're afraid of them, you know, like you just said.
That was Eric who said, yeah, close it.
Yeah.
There were wrestlers ready to go out there and whoop some ass. I can guarantee you that. That was backstage.
All right. Breaking news. Mike Santana, previously known as Just Santana, has been removed from the AEW roster pick. He's previously listed as after Mike Bennett. It's in the second roster screenshot. So that detail ties into our next email. How do you feel about this, Conan? I didn't see this dude since late 2023. Reunion LAX and TNA in the future? Unfortunately, Ortiz and Santana are not friends anymore. Tony misused LAX so much that Cecilia from Culinary Joey. How do you feel about this? Santana is done with AEW. In a three-year run, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but they did. His stock diminished.
Yeah, but did he make any money?
Yeah.
All right, he made a pretty penny. He wasn't buried. He was just not used. So he's still kind of like, I think there's still some value in his character.
Of course, there's still some value. I mean, because he's got star potential.
Yeah.
But I saw this coming a long time ago. I remember one time I was backstage and he actually told me he saw these guys from WCW and all the problems that were backstage. This is like around the time that like Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa had heat and they almost fought, and fucking Sammy Guevara and Andrade fought, and CM Punk was that. Like, that place was very, you know, it was the same day that Frankie Kazarian, out of nowhere, you would never expect him to say this, he walked into catering and he goes, oh, Conan's here, good, maybe somebody I can write with some logic. And I was like, please don't get me any heat with this fucking guy. Right. And so, I told him when he said, oh, Tony said he's going to give me a push. I go, he's not.
I remember they tried, though, because Santana had a sit-down interview with JR that was pretty good, where he brought up his dad passing away and how his dad had been blind, and they went that personal route. And then it's easy to look and go, wow, they didn't use Santana enough or they didn't misuse him. But remember, he had some ill-timed injuries, too. Remember he got hurt in that big cage match that they had?
And so when he came back after the injury, why didn't they do anything with him?
That's a good point, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I hope the best for him because he is fucking super talented, and the disappointment that he's gone.
The next one is from Forrester Grillo, and subject is, what if it happens again? My main reason to watch Raw tonight is Drew McIntyre. The guy can wrestle in all but his heel turn has made his character the most entertaining he's ever been. His endless shots at CM Punk are just hilarious, while also making you excited to see how CM Punk comes back and gets his revenge. Here's my question for you guys, though, especially Conan, as he's still booking shows. What would you guys do if they finally get around to Punk versus McIntyre and Punk gets hurt again, either the build of the match to the match or during the match itself? I mean, I'm a fan of CM Punk for me personally. If you were to get hurt badly again, I would think that keeping him on the roster is a bad idea. I would release him, but what would you guys do? I would have Punk, when he comes back against Drew McIntyre, fake an injury, and then use the fake injury to screw Drew out of something going forward. If he ever comes back.
I like that.
What about you, Conan?
Yeah, if you're worried about the guy getting hurt, I would probably have him like the leader of a faction and have him in more tags and three men's and put him in singles every now and then. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't get rid of him. He's money, bro.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It would not be a hell of a deal.
Even the commentary he's good at. And I saw a graphic somewhere, but I'm not sure if they announced it officially, but he might referee one of the main events or something. So they'll be using him somewhere at Mania.
Next from Kevin Donald, subject Hammerstone. Alexander Hammerstone, it's great that TNA were able to sign him, and I have to ask you guys, why do you think he's not with WWE or AEW? Could it really be possible that TNA was able to outbid the bigger companies when it came to the money? Or sadly, do you think it's possible that neither of them even tried to sign it? I don't know.
This guy said, is it possible that Impact outbid them, outbid WWE?
Yeah.
Okay. What's this guy's name? Are you a Patreon guy?
Kevin.
No, this isn't the Patreon emails now.
How come Conan's Kazoo works better now, Joe?
There was a feature called reduce mic background noise. because I used that to keep the dogs out and stuff, but then it wouldn't recognize the kazoo, so I had to turn it off.
Oh, I like the kazoo. Kazoo sounds better, Cody. I don't know if you could tell.
No, I'm not on this.
It sounds the same to him.
I think it's possible they didn't even try to sign him. He's up. They should have, because he's a good character. He's a good talker. He's a good worker. But he's up there in age. I think that maybe they looked at him as like, you know, the WWE can look at a guy like Hammerstone and they can look in their developmental and say, okay, do we have another guy like Hammerstone? And then they probably do.
Right.
You know, probably a couple of them. So let's just continue with our investment in these guys.
How is Hammerstone, Joe?
But he deserves to have gotten there. I like him because he looks like a big buddy.
Well, no, he's only 33, D.I.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He looks older. He's got more of an older look.
Well, if he signs a 2-year deal and makes a good name for himself in TNA, then he could probably maybe get a run at WWE. Right.
That's what I think he's doing.
Yeah.
There's probably a better chance of me sticking out in Impact than an AEW.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So guess what, boys?
Yo.
Public service announcement here. K100 is coming in a disco. Is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know, a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
So it's super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitzed.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV. Great for watching the soccer games in the morning. Great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitz.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts, too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt, too. The Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitz aboard, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got cherry. And actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. Like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything, and it enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are pina colada and grape. So get a glitz, get high, without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get Blitz at getblitz.com. Boom.
Next is some Germany French fries. Subject is Mania 4. AK100, listen to and love it, your clip of you guys trashing Dumb Dave Meltzer's review of Hogan versus Andre at Mania. Number 3, he's so clueless. Oh, Mania 3. He's so clueless. My question for K100 is, I know you're pinning the Mania 3 match, but I'd love to know what you guys think about their Mania 4 rematch. Personally, I love it. It's like 5 to 6 minutes long. Crowd is hot. It's all high spots. No one cares about what I think, though, Conan Disco. What say you? So Germany French fries. I didn't know they had... Joe, pull that out.
Yeah.
Where was Mania 4? And they had a rematch?
I saw this. I actually saw this. I remember watching this. You know where I was?
Where?
Trump Plaza.
Yep.
Interesting. Like, remember we talked to Paz about Trump's favorite wrestlers? Like, right. Andre was like one of his favorite wrestlers.
Right. But bro, this, I remember that WrestleMania had a lot of matches. Like, how many did it have, Joe?
Like, because they had a world title tournament with like, yeah, dude, it was the first 4-hour pay-per-view and a lot of the matches drug and, I mean.
Dude, let me, you know, when I first got into professional wrestling, okay, I used to, my favorite content, like that I would watch, like.
16.
The stuff that I would watch, that I would tape and stuff. And my favorite stuff that I could watch on that I consume when I was getting 13 or so hours of wrestling every week with the wrestling block on Channel 36 to 7 hours. I used to love Deep South, the Bill Watts promotion. And I used to love the once a month, the USA televised the Madison Square Garden shows. The Madison Square Garden shows, and I would when I got the business, I would go back and watch the Garden shows, like why the Garden shows are so successful. Bro, sometimes some of the matches, okay, were so simplistic. It's like if these days you book a show and you give the wrestlers like a lot of freedom and, you know, whatever. Most of them are getting 12 to 16 minutes, you know, on TV. Like, they get a lot of time. You know, back when we wrestled Conan, like, it was usually 6 to 8. And if you had 12, you were going 2 segments. It's like, shit, I got to put my working boots on. Because you get, you know, we're used to working shorter matches. You get blown up a little bit more if you're working 12 minutes. You know, we weren't in super great cardio shape because we were so used to just working, you know, shorter matches. You know what I'm saying? If you had a longer match, you'd get blown up, right? Like, would you agree with that, Conan? That was, like, declining, like, back then, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I would watch some of these shows. If you go back and watch a Garden show, dude, sometimes, like, Ivan Putski would wrestle Cowboy Bob Orton, okay? Putski would try to get in the ring, and Orton would come and knock him off the apron, and he would just sit there and sell, and Orton would work the crowd, and he'd have the cast, and, like, he worked the crowd for, like, a minute. Then Putski would climb back up, and he'd knock him off the apron again. And then he would climb up the third time. This takes like 2 to 3 minutes because he's selling and, like, you know, she said, you know, Orton's working the crowd. The crowd's getting, he come up and he goes to run and hits him again. And Putski hits and gives him the gut shot in the stomach. Okay. And then comes in. And you know how Polish power having Putski used to be? He'd give the boom, 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 right. Like he'd pummel again. And the crowd would go crazy. He would flex. He would look at the crowd and he would shoot the Orton in and give him a Polish hammer and pin him 1, 2, 3. The crowd heat was great because they were getting up, like, he'd get with Putski as he kept trying to get in the ring, and all Orton was doing was knock up the hammer. He got in the ring, pummeled him, and beat him with his finish, and the crowd went apeshit. That took, like, 6 minutes, okay? And that was, like, a 6-minute match in the show. There would be another match, and, like, the next match would be, like, 2 guys, and literally the entire match would be them working the crowd, and they would lock up, headlock, and do, like, a... Like they work the headlock and they do a big spot. Tackle, drop down, leapfrog, drop kick, arm drag, boom, boom, just like one big giant spot and the guy would out. And they'd work the crowd on the apron and then they work the crowd in the ring and they come back in the ring and they would do like, they'd circle each other and they lock up again, do another long spot. The guy would, like, you know, the guy would miss something and he'd get him like 30 seconds of heat and he would sunset flip him and pin him. Like, that was like another match. There was like 10 matches on the card, but in each match, was kind of very simplistic until you got to the main event guys. You didn't have to do a lot. back then. Like today, wrestling is very, very, very complicated because everybody and their mother is out there trying to have a 4-star wrestling match. And you don't have to if you have the crowd, the people, like the crowd is popping for your shit. But I used to like the MSG shows. If everybody can go back and watch those, you can see what I'm talking about because the matches were very simple, but very super over.
The great thing about those shows, Disco, was that there weren't a million wrestlers like there are now. So they had like their 20 wrestlers and people that would come in and out. And almost all of them were over with the fans. And when you're over, you don't have to do that much. Right. You know, Putski was over, Orton was over, Animal Steel was over, Gorilla was over, San Martino was over, you know, Billy Graham was over. You know what I'm saying? Like right. Everybody had over personalities and the managers were over. The right. Grand Wizard, the motherfucking Lou Albano, you know what I'm saying? Like Freddie Blassie, like everybody was over, you know? And so you didn't have to do as much and you did have people copying each other's moves and, you know, all these fucking wrestlers that shouldn't even be on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was just a different way of doing things.
Yep.
Question, because we could use this for Patreon or on Rumble or whatever. Do you want to watch the Hogan-Andre match? It's 5 minutes.
Sure. Let's watch. Good time. We got 4 emails left.
There's only a few left, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Let me see if I remember correctly. So this was kind of like a rematch from the WrestleMania of the year before, right?
Yeah.
But Andre was like slower. And I remember DiBiase came in and used the chair. And I think there's like somebody got disqualified. That's all I remember.
Who won?
Down he goes. That's Savage became. Savage became world champion then.
Interesting. But Hogan didn't have to do the job for anybody.
Nope.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year, and you know you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, or the delicious salted caramel whey protein, you can be sure you're using elite level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at legacysubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and Legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at legacysubs.com to the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with LegacySubs.com, and don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout, and we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of LegacySubs.com.
Free speaker, huh? Ooh.
What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess or like if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy, but not with Recovery PM.
I've been using desiccated liver pills.
Cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else. Yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Subs. Boom.
Next is a Robert Bailey Jr. Subject is Aquatic Ape Theory. Sort of K100 fam, sort of deviating from a wrestling question to me, because I wonder if you guys have ever heard of Aquatic Ape Theory. It's a theory that millions of years ago, we were primarily waterbound. Basically, human babies instinctively hold their breath when they go into water, like in Nirvana Albuquerque. Whereas a baby chimpanzee, for instance, inhales the water as it sinks. A chimpanzee as a baby is essentially ready to go from out of the womb, but a human baby is fat and soft as more of a transformative growth process as it matures. When we are underwater, the only thing that wrinkles are our feet and hands, and it's and states it was because it provided grip strength to catch prey and tread on the surface of the water. I found it to be an interesting theory myself, although I don't think it's consistent with fossil records. I wanted to see if you guys had heard of it, what you thought, and why it's one of the best gimmicks that ever made it to WWF and WCW television in the early 90s. And that's from Robert Bailey Jr.
Thanks, Robert.
How would you put this gimmick in WWE?
I don't know. This is a stupid question. Let's yellow card into this question. This stupid question.
Well, for the record, this theory, which I've read about before, okay, mm-hmm. You know, it's been, not that this means anything, but it's been like put into question by anthropologists saying that did not happen.
Interesting. So the aquatic ape theory is possibly bullshit?
Yes.
Okay, definitely so under scrutiny.
Okay, so just that we're going to give a yellow card for potential misinformation on that email, right?
Upon further review.
Mm-hmm.
Next is from Anthony Hunt, and the subject says, "A rock overshadowed Roman. K100 crew, greetings crew, hope all is well with you. I just looked at that promo segment on SmackDown, 35 minutes and went to a commercial break. Seems like Rock is more focused on Cody than Roman is. My question is, for night one, instead of a tag match, should they do Gunther versus Priest? Roman and Cody wrestling both nights makes no sense. You guys think The Rock is overshadowed Roman? Guess we'll wait and see. Sincerely, Anthony Hunt." No, I don't see anything wrong. I think what they're doing is fine.
Yeah.
What did SmackDown do? You pull up the Brandon Thurston on that first segment. If he is overshadowing Roman, but they addressed it in the promo with the way Roman was acting, and they did the thing where, you know, it was all this is all very good storytelling. You know, there's a lot of questions each week of what's going to happen next.
At the end of the day, he's not trying to overshadow him. They're cousins, so they don't look at anybody overshadowing anybody. They're trying. They're both looking at, hey, how much business and interest are we generating?
So,
wow. Oh, yeah, that's first segment, dude.
Yep. And then even further, up 2.75 it went up to.
Yeah. Well, 135 minutes. It was like a long, went through the start of the topic. Isn't that crazy? Well, Joe, what is the lead-in for, I think, what's the lead-in for SmackDown? Is it news?
Oh, they're on USA now.
No, Fox. Fox. Wait, SmackDown's on USA now?
Yeah, on Fox. Yeah.
No, SmackDown's on Fox, Joe.
They're still on Fox?
Okay. Yes.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Watch the show. Boom.
Yeah, you're misinformation. Joe, you're misinformation.
I use, what do you call it? Hulu. Yeah, it just says local programming all day, so that's probably news. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, so 2.33 million people turn it on, and they went up the entirety of that segment. It went up 420,000 people, it goes up like 20%. I mean, both the Rock's, you know, the Rock's a huge draw, and I heard a lot of people in the company weren't happy with the Rock going long because it knocked like 10 people off the show, supposedly, because it went so long. And next is from Jack Stainstreet. And the subject is Undertaker thoughts on LA Knight from Australian tour, Netflix special. G'day, Jen. I recently attended the Undertaker's one-man speaking tour here in Australia, and I wanted to share some thoughts and insights from the event. Despite high expectations with ticket prices ranging from $90 to $300, many attendees, including myself, were left feeling disappointed. The general anticipation was for Undertaker to delve into his lustrous career. He only spent about 20 minutes discussing his first match in the Von Erich Auditorium before moving on to an audience gauge and a Q&A session. That said, during the Q&A, an interesting moment occurred when someone asked which active wrestlers would have thrived in the Attitude Era. Many in the audience yelled CM Punk, to which the Undertaker humorously responded, "That bitch, ha." Huh. Someone else yelled LA Knight, prompting the Undertaker to come and poofed, he's 40, right? He just became main event player, and that tells you everything you need to know. I'm curious about your take on his remarks. In my view, LA Knight is perhaps the only current wrestler who embodies the promo style of the era. Although many wrestlers are capable speakers, the demands of the mic and the crowd 25 years ago were significantly different from today's thing. Additionally, I'd like to share some intriguing news I haven't heard anywhere yet regarding a potential Netflix deal mentioned during the tour. Attendees were required to secure their phones, a measure explained by the Undertaker's precaution to prevent his material from circulating online. This is because the tour is being used to gauge the viability of a Netflix special. That begs the thought that anyone with a career in WWE, WWF, ACW, and for Disco Conan, WCW, could have an opportunity to tell the story as Netflix squeezes as much content as they can for the $5 billion. Cheers, and that's from Jack. What if the WWE decides to hire the Keep It 100 podcast as part of their network and put us on the WWE network?
They did it with Conrad and Bruce.
They did, right?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of, well, you Undertaker
throwing a little shade on LA Knight here. It's kind of the same shade we heard from Nash.
Mm-hmm,
but yeah. Like these older cats, maybe like look at LA Knight as like, you know, kind of like a flash in the pan. I don't. I think the guys, you know,
yeah.
If you look at the climate and you look at the, you know, professional wrestling today, he's definitely one of the best cats.
Yeah, I can almost see two old timers. Hey, what do you think about this LA Knight guy? Yeah, 40 years old. I mean, you're going to start at that age. Good luck, kid.
We're not even going to talk about what we were doing at 40,
right?
Which is like main event.
Yeah, 40. When I was at 40, Joe, I was selling out Madison Square Garden. What's this guy doing? Doing a promo backstage? Good luck, kid. Hell of a deal. Joe, you're one hell of a deal. Why did you change stunning glasses to those?
Yeah. My contacts are giving me problems, so I need these as of right now because they're prescription. If I don't have these on, I can't see shit. Nothing.
Nexus of Dale Fortuna sent his WDF to PC. What's up, gang? Remember when Indy White Knighters had issues with the PC recruiting primarily athletes to the program? Well, let's take a look at how much better of wrestlers that group has become than the straight-to-TV tricksters at another network. This is something Vince may have been scratching the surface on as a talent pool idea back 30 years ago. It's no secret Vince loved body so much he created the WBF, the World Bodybuilding Federation brand. And not to get into specifics, but it's a brilliant idea to have these massive beasts under contract for one area to potentially cultivate a talent pool for wrestlers to enter the WWF. Financial hardships are one of the reasons for the downfall, but I do think that Vince may have started the blueprint to having a farm system under his umbrella, legally owning rights to stars before they hit the big time. So I want to know your thoughts on this. The Women's Center is probably a thought of his after the territories are drained. P.S. Conan, how did you come up with the Teal of Sunrise? And Disco, did you authorize Stone Cold Steve Austin to steal the Chartbuster? I did not authorize Steve Austin to steal the Chartbuster. but, bro, yeah, the PC Center's perfect. You pay guys to train them. You own their IP. And you put them on the show when they're ready. You know, it's a factory.
Does this guy allude that he thought that the bodybuilders, maybe Vince was seeing potential in them of being wrestlers?
Yeah, that's what he's speculating.
Okay, so I saw one guy. He was that German guy, Albrecht. He came out once in a match.
Yeah.
And he was so massive compared to all the other wrestlers that he would have torn every fucking muscle from his elbow to his asshole in one match. Brackus, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
They were just so superly muscular. There's no way they could have fucking wrestled, bro.
Yeah, and if I remember right, just reading about that era and stuff, I don't think those guys were interested in moving on to wrestling. You know,
Vince had it in his idea. Lex was there. Loved bodybuilder wrestlers, Ultimate Warrior, Davey Boyce, all the guys that were there, right? And he probably did have that. But, bro, they were so freakishly muscular that they would have ripped everything.
And if you remember, Vince, sneaky, that's where he put Lex, because when Lex left WCW 92 to go to WWE. He was under like a year where he couldn't wrestle. So Vince just stuck him on the bodybuilder show. And that was the way to use him.
Yep.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next is from Emmanuel. Last one's from Emmanuel Bird. So I'm just Maxine Dupree. He'd be being booed at by fans. Hello, K100, longtime listener. I'm hitting you guys up to get your opinions on this. Who WWE Maxine Dupree being booed by a fan for a bad performance, and now everybody, including Zelina Vega and Rhea Ripley, are trying to play damage control and placing the blame on the fans who voiced their opinions on what they didn't like. I find amazing we're in this era where it's too sensitive versus where the wrestling biz, you're supposed to develop a thick skin, otherwise you will start to go crazy. Now, Meltzer threw his opinions and saying there's a line, he thinks everybody's getting sensitive, but he placed the blame on the company for putting her in that position. What are your thoughts on this? Also, Disco loved the interview you did with Chris Van Fleet recently, and he was 100% correct about the risk of today's modern wrist. I know I was. I'm always right.
You're wrong.
I can't believe this is even a story. And it was embarrassing to watch Rhea Ripley and these people comment on it. She got booed by one fan that said, "You suck." All right. It's not, if that If she's going to get a viral mob behind her to yell at fans for doing that, I would like to see where is this support for when I wrestle? Because all the fans would do is just cuss at you, insult you, call you a terrible wrestler. Here's the worst thing about this with Rhea Ripley and Zelina Vega. Bro, they were complaining for her.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hear Maxine Dupri complain. Everybody was complaining because one fan, somebody posted a thing that got viral. It's like that they were like, it's like the white knight and then the virtue signalers, that they were more offended for her than she was. You know? It's ridiculous. Well, what did you think? She didn't feel the same way?
Here's my take. So it's very commendable that the girls come out and they defend her. She might have gone backstage and felt bad or cried and they felt bad for her. But at the end of the day, dude, it is what it is. I mean, you go to football games, baseball games, UFC, people are going to chant whatever they want. They're drunk. It's their money. They can say whatever the fuck they want. And if you can't accept criticism, get the fuck out. And I agree with Dave Meltzer. It is the company's fault for putting her in there when she doesn't know how to wrestle. Why don't they do it with Jade Cargill? Because they're making sure she's ready, and that's what they should have done with Maxine.
Right.
Yeah, fan blaming is a big thing across all aspects of entertainment.
They're not to blame.
Yeah.
They're not to blame.
They're not, but the WWE really isn't to blame here. They're putting her out there to try to get experience, and she screwed up, okay, which is going to happen when you're just using a girl on house shows and you're trying to get experience in front of people.
Right.
So it's not like, it's not their fault. It's just one fan said you suck.
Right. And if you're sitting there and you don't like anything as a wrestling fan or as a sports fan, you have the priority to say, boo, you suck. I don't like you. Whatever you want to say.
Yep.
As long as you're not fucking doing something that, you know, kids shouldn't hear, some shit like that, that they're around you. But other than that, bro, I mean.
You know what they call that now, Conan? They call it toxic fandom. When you don't like what you're being served, then all of a sudden you're toxic.
Well, maybe two. Maybe they keep putting her out there because she's got thick skin about her work. Maybe she's fine with the criticism because she
maybe she didn't. Maybe she went back and she was bothered by it. It's very hard when you're a babyface and people are booing you. And I can imagine for a girl. So, you know, I'm pretty sure she wasn't happy about it. And probably they wanted to go to her defense. But you know what? That's the game you're in. Wrestling fans are a unique bunch and they're going to express what they feel. And that's what makes them who they are.
She did have a really atrocious looking spot on the house show.
She was terrible, bro. She's wrestled twice and she was terrible.
Did you see the Nia Jax spot where Nia Jax gave the finish on her? And like she's lying down and Nia Jax sat on her for the finish, like that thing she does in the corner. And she literally didn't, she was completely motionless when she landed on her. Like she didn't even move her arm. Like she didn't even sell it. It didn't even sell it. Like complete no sell. Like it didn't even sell. Like one twitch of a muscle in her body. It was like, looked atrocious.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.